Amen. We have been redeemed because we are the people of God. And all of us have reason to be thankful that we have been redeemed. The Bible lets us know that Jesus, our Lord, did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for men. In the process of giving his life for us, he redeemed us from the bondage of sin. We have been emancipated. We have been liberated as people of God. I want to personally commend Brother Jaron for a fine job in leading our singing. He's a young man, but he is a talented young man. And I can appreciate him not only for being able to stand before the congregation and lead us in singing, but when he's in the audience, as a worshiper, he sings as well. And I noticed something this morning which is also commendable and should serve as an example to other ushers that are working as ushers. On Sunday mornings, as well as on Sunday evenings, it's very easy for ushers to excuse themselves from not singing while they are in the lobby area. But I noticed that Jaron sings. All ushers should sing. And sometimes as our young people and some not so young are sitting in the audience, they don't engage in singing. Some are sitting silently without singing. But almost invariably, the times I have noticed him, that young man is singing. And of course, he's supposed to. And we are supposed to, and all of us in worship are supposed to sing, and we should be grateful to have the privilege and the opportunity to sing in the worship of God. Because as has been frequently affirmed, when it comes to worship, God is the audience. Worship is not a spectator sport when it comes to singing praises to God. And I wanted to just say those things in an effort to encourage Brother Prow in his singing. He's the third generation of Prows who is talented as a song leader. And I want to encourage Jaron to keep up the good work and continue to manifest the fine spirit that is evident in you as a young man. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the passage that was read just a few moments ago. Brother Melvin read from Matthew chapter 13. He read verses 34 and 35. I want to read also prerequisitely from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 3. Matthew 13, 1 through 3, then reread verses 34 and 35. Matthew 13, starting with verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. And this first parable that he uses is the parable known as the parable of the sower. Of course, there are a number of other parables that are related in this particular chapter and in other books and chapters of the New Testament. In verses 34 and 35, we read, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Now, what is stated in verse number 34, without a parable spake he not unto them, simply means that Jesus very freely and very liberally and very extensively used parables as a mean of teaching kingdom truths. Jesus employed parables on a regular basis in an effort to teach those who were his auditors. Jesus used almost everything around him to illustrate the truth of his kingdom. Jesus used common things that we can identify with, whether you're thinking about the parable of the sower, the parable of the leaven, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost boy, the parable of the vine and branches, and a wide variety of other parables. Jesus used earthly things to explain spiritual realities and spiritual truths. I noticed that not only did Jesus use parables and physical earthly illustrations effectively to communicate spiritual truths in a powerful and potent way, but others who were followers of Jesus, other preachers, have used parables effectively as well in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brother Marshall Keble was well known for using down-to-earth, simple, powerful illustrations in order to drive home his potent spiritual points. I want to follow in the illustrious feet or footsteps of Jesus in using parabolic language to explain some spiritual realities. This will especially resonate well with Sister Barbara Kuhl, because periodically she might have an article in the bulletin using the postage stamp in order to illustrate spiritual qualities that should characterize us as God's people. So what I want to do this evening is, and I came across a sermon, a lesson, back in 1967 in the office of Willie Cato, the president at that time of the Nashville Christian Institute. And that was a sermon in a book that he had entitled Postage Stamp Christians. Postage Stamp Christians. And I want to say, as we stand on the very threshold of 2013, as we are preparing to exit 2012, if the qualities characteristic of postage stamps can be exemplified in our lives in 2013, we can accomplish much for the Lord. We can extend the borders of the kingdom of God, of which Brother Daniel spoke in his prayer this evening. We can be instrumental in winning souls to Christ. We can be instrumental in achieving a meaningful measure of spiritual growth and development. If we will have the qualities in our lives that are characteristic of the postage stamp, we will foster a spirit of cooperation and unity and harmony among the various groups within the church, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, those who are well educated and those who are not as well educated, males and female, all of us working together, elders and deacons and preachers and teachers and parents, in order to carry out in a meaningful and successful fashion the operation of the church in an effort to be what God wants us to be and to move forward in the growth and development of the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is, we can accomplish a lot if we will demonstrate the qualities that are exemplified in the postage stamp. And I know there are some changes that are taking place in the way postage stamps are used. You can go to stamps.com and you can print off your own stamps right there on your own personal computer. Of course, you still can buy stamps at the post office. You can also arrange for the postman to bring you some stamps. You can also use a postage meter in order to print, especially if you do mass mailing, to print off the stamps that you need, or just to print on your particular package or letter. But I want to look at some qualities of postage stamps that we need to take note of. One, postage stamps were made. They did not just happen. The blind forces of nature, guided by no intelligence, did not make the postage stamps. They were intelligently made. They were intelligently designed. They didn't just materialize out of nothing. Similarly, man was created and made by the Almighty God of glory. Male and female, God made man. In the image of God made he him. Male and female made he them. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God made man like men made postage stamps. This morning, Brother Bashir referenced Psalm 100. The Bible says in verse number 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Just as postage stamps were made and did not just happen, so we as human beings were made, and we were made in the image of God, and we didn't just happen. Similarly, stamps are made by those in authority and govern and control by authority. You can't just make your own stamp and expect it to serve successfully. You have to have an authentic stamp made by proper governmental authority. The law regulates the use of stamps. Man also must be governed by divine authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." In Colossians 3:17, Paul says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." That is, by the authority, by the divine say-so of the Lord. Just as stamps are governed and controlled by governmental authority, we as God's people must be governed and controlled by the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9 teaches us, speaking of Christ, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." We must bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. Again, when it comes to stamps, a ragged edge is no hindrance. Have you noticed stamps having kind of a ragged edge? They are sometimes, we as people are like the stamp insofar as having ragged edges. Sometimes there are some folks who are ugly. There are some folks who are too tall. There are some folks who are too short. There are some folk who are bald. There are some folks who are scarred. But that shouldn't make any difference. That shouldn't hinder us. You know, you don't have to be handsome to be used mightily of God. You don't have to be beautiful in order to be used mightily of God. You don't have to be a perfect physical specimen in order to be used effectively in the kingdom of God. Your physical characteristics do not have to serve as a hindrance to you being able to work effectively and successfully in the kingdom of God. Stamps have ragged edges, but they get there just the same. Stamps might, some of them might not be very appealing, or might not be very beautiful. I have some stamps right here, and some folks might think this fella is cute, Others might tend to disagree. This is the postal dog. They call him Oni, the postal dog. Now, we got some animal lovers in the house, I'm sure, and these also are forever stamps. And the forever stamp simply means that the stamp will always have enough value that no matter how the prices change or how the prices go up, you can always send a first-class letter using this particular stamp. If stamps go up to a dollar a piece, you still can use the forever stamp. And I think that's nice. But this stamp is not affected. Its value is not diminished simply because it has the picture of a dog on it. Isn't that right, Sister Johnson? Yeah, it's still a successful stamp. I intend to keep these until I need them. I hadn't used but one of them from this sheet. But I have the assurance that if they decide to raise the price of stamps to 75 cents next year, I can take one of these stamps and it'll serve the purpose just as well as a 75 cent stamp. Also, when it comes to stamps, and this is in the olden days now, but the principle is still valid. It used to be that no stamp was of any real benefit until it was licked. You know, you used to have to lick your stamps. Now, they have self-adhesive stamps now, but it used to be that you'd have to take stamps and lick the stamp. Man, similarly, must usually get licked before he's of much importance. Peter had to experience a licking before he really could be used effectively by the Lord. All of God's great men and successful men in one way or another were licked in order to be used effectively of God. Joseph was licked a number of times, but God used him mightily. Moses was licked before God could use him. Daniel got licked. The three Hebrew boys got licked. Paul was licked on numerous occasions, as is detailed in 2 Corinthians 11. Hardships are good for us if we endure. In order for us to be our best and to do our best, we have to experience a licking. Have you ever gotten licked? You know, they talk about Timex, that it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You know, some people hadn't been licked yet, but you will be. Yeah, just wait around. If you hadn't been licked yet, your licking is coming. And you're going to be the better for having been licked. Also, stamps are of various values. Some 1 cent, they do still have 1 cent stamps, and I still have some. Some are 2 cents, and some are 3 and 4 cents. Each stamp is to do its best. The 1 cent stamp works as hard as if it were a 4 cent stamp or a regular first class stamp. The people of God must exemplify that same kind of spirit. In God's sight, each of us has value. Each of us has significance. Each of us has a role to play. Our talents might differ, but we must, like the woman who broke the alabaster box and anointed Jesus, we must be willing to do what we can. Mark 14 and verse number 8. Additionally, we want to point out that stamps cooperate. They work together. We must cooperate. We must work together if we are to achieve the kind of success as the people of God that is possible. If we are to grow as a congregation of the Lord, we must cooperate with each other. A 1 cent stamp will work with a 2 cent stamp, or a 4 cent stamp, or a 45 cent stamp, or a dozen others, the same as if alone. All sizes work together on a letter or a package. Christians must work together, must be united, must cooperate in doing what one alone cannot do. Sometimes you might get a package in the mail and you see just a whole bunch of stamps on that particular package. And each of those stamps is necessary to ensure that the package reaches its intended designation. You might have a 1 cent stamp on there. You might have a dollar stamp on there, but that 1 cent stamp, its value is needed and necessary in order for the package to reach its destination. The 1 center makes its contribution just as stamps of higher value. Christians likewise must work together, must be united, must cooperate in doing what one cannot do alone. Paul stated, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also might be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Just like stamps cooperate and work together, we as God's people must likewise cooperate and work together. Postage stamps also will work anywhere you put them. Work on a letter, work on a package, work on a large package, work on a small package. Wherever you put a stamp, it'll stick right there. It won't complain. I don't want to help send this small package somewhere. I don't want to help send this large package somewhere. I'm too important. No, the stamp will work anywhere you put it. That should be the attitude of those who are children of God. We need to be willing to work anywhere we are put. Christians are humble and do all they can anywhere they may be, on a little job or a big job. They will demonstrate the attitude that was exemplified by Jesus. As we mentioned earlier, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In order to use a stamp or to have stamps to use, it's necessary to purchase them. Stamps have to be purchased. You know, I went down to the post office some time ago, and they didn't just give me these stamps. These stamps had to be bought. These stamps had to be paid for. Stamps have to be purchased, and they are of no use to us until we buy them. Christians were first purchased with the blood of Christ. Paul said to the Ephesian elders at Miletus in Acts 20, 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We have been bought, we have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we are able to be used in the service of God by virtue of our having been purchased by the blood of Jesus. As we hasten to conclude, a stamp is not ready to go until it first is canceled out. In order for us to be able to function as God designs us to function, our old life of sin must be canceled out. Our old life of sin must be blotted out. So Peter told the inquiring multitude in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have to get rid of our sins. We have to be canceled out in order for us to be used in the kingdom of God. And finally, stamps work. Stamps hang in there. Stamps stick to it until they reach their final destination. Christians must have that same stickability. We must, according to Revelation 2 and verse 10, we must be faithful unto death if we are to claim the crown of life and if we are to reach our final destination. Jesus says in Matthew 24 and verse 13, those who endure till the end, those are the ones who shall be saved. Are you willing to be more like a postage stamp in this new year, that we might move the church forward, that we might facilitate the growth and development of the church? Are we as a congregation willing to be more like the postage stamps in 2013? If you are here and you are not yet a Christian, now is a wonderful time to become one. You no doubt have heard the gospel many times, what Jesus did on the cross for your sins and mine, when he died and when he was buried and when he arose from the grave the third day. Paul says this gospel will save you if you'll keep it in memory unless you have believed in vain, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. If you've heard the gospel but have not yet obeyed it, why not obey it today? By believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And you determine that you are going to be like the postage stamp and that you are going to stick to it until you reach your final destination. If you're here and you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside, need to rededicate your life, we'd urge you to do that this evening. You can do it through repentance, confession, and prayer. Kind of like reapplying the adhesive to your stamp so you can stick to it once more and make a commitment this time to be faithful unto death, that you might be assured of the crown of life. If you're here and need to come, we ask you to come now as we together stand and as we sing.
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious in the flow.